Ruth chapter number 3. Thank you, Brother Snyder and church, for letting us come back over to the Jubilee and be a part of this great, great meeting. Love Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia. Always good to see Brother T.D., Miss Joy. First time I've got to be with the diplomats. What a blessing. Thank you. And the reason that young man sings so well is because he's from Alabama.
Amen.
Amen. We raise singers down in Alabama.
Amen.
Let me rephrase that. We raise singers down in Alabama. Singers. Folks that can get it done. I do thank you for all the cards and prayers for Miss Annette. I come in on a Friday. I've been preaching at a camp meeting down in a place called Centerville, Alabama, between Montgomery and the Promised Land, Tuscaloosa. Hallelujah. Warrior, somebody just blasphemed. I heard that. Roll Tide. Anyway, I come in on Friday, and Annette looked at me and gave me the news that there was the possibility that she had breast cancer. So after we cried a while, she looked at me and she said these words: "Straighten up, set up, God's got this." I listened up because we began to believe then that God did have that, and He did because of the prayers of God's people. And now she is cancer-free, and we praise the Lord. So I can say amen, brother, that sung that song tonight, because God's been faithful. Ruth chapter 3, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
I want to read verse number 1 tonight and take a thought from verse number 1. And preach for a little while on this subject: a recipe for rest. A recipe for rest. I've never seen such a day of unrest. If you look without tonight, outside the walls of this building, especially in our nation, there is such unrest morally. We've never seen the morals of our nation at the low they are tonight. There is unrest morally. There's unrest socially. There's unrest politically. Only God knows if Jesus stays His return. Only God knows who will occupy the White House come January 2017. Only God knows who's going to fill that vacancy on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. I mean, there's unrest politically tonight. There's unrest economically. Folks are struggling economically. You say, "Pastor, what are you saying?" I'm saying there is such unrest in the world today. Unrest without. But then there's unrest within. I look at the children of God and the saints of God, and I see a lot of them have a weariness about them. The Bible talked about that in Galatians chapter 6. Paul said, "Be not weary in well doing." He said, "Don't lose heart. Faint not. Because don't be deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." But there seems to be a weariness among the people of God. And I want to tell you tonight in Ruth chapter 3, the Bible's going to teach us how that even in a day of unrest, there can be rest for the children of God. When I talk about rest tonight, I'm not talking necessarily about physical rest, but I'm talking about spiritual rest. Rest for the people of God. The Bible said these words. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Chapter 3, verse 1 of the book of Ruth. Ruth has a great need. Chapter 1, she is a widow. Chapter 2, she is a worker. But she comes to chapter 3 and she faces a great need. What is her need, preacher? Her need is a kinsman redeemer. Ruth needs rest. And that word rest in that text means simply this. It means to be quiet. It speaks of someone that is settled. It's used to speak of someone who had a home and was settled in life. It describes a lack of anxiety, restlessness, emptiness in a person's heart and life. And Naomi said to Ruth, "Shall I not seek rest for thee?" I like what A.W. Tozer said when he made this statement. He quoted Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Tozer said this, "It is not Jesus, comma. It is not Jesus, apostrophe. It is not Jesus, hyphen. It is not Jesus, dash, as if something needs to be added to Jesus for a person to find rest." He said, "It is Jesus, period." Period. And Jesus is the one that gives us rest. Three simple truths tonight found in the text. Number one, in verse number 3, you find the preparation for rest. Here's what Naomi said for Ruth to do. "As you go down to Boaz, who is of our kindred, Naomi, he is winnowing barley tonight down at the threshing floor." She said, "There's 4 things that you've got to do to prepare to find this rest." Number one, she said, "You must wash yourself." You've got to be clean. Because of the dust and because of the heat of that culture, they often had to wash themselves. But we know the truth of that text tonight to us is this. That if we're going to find rest, we need to wash ourselves. We need to confess our sins. We need to know that there is nothing between us and our Savior. Our sins must be confessed. Our sins must be under the blood. We must come to God with a clean heart and clean hands. If we're going to find rest, we've got to be clean. Number 2, she said, "Anoint yourself. Be consecrated." The ceremonial purpose of anointing with oil was to set apart something or someone from secular purposes to spiritual purposes. When David was anointed as king, he was set apart from the people as a common citizen and set apart unto God as a crowned king. Consecration in a believer's life is separation from the world and separation unto God. As a sinner, we live like a sinner. But now that we've been saved by the grace of God, we're to live like we have been saved. We are to live consecrated. We're to live like Christ. So Naomi said, if you're going to find rest, Ruth, you have to make some preparations. You've got to be clean. You've got to be consecrated. But number 3, you've got to be clothed. Put thy raiment upon thee. When Ruth came from Moab, she wore the garments of a widow. In chapter number 2, when Ruth was in the field, she was wearing the garments of a worker. But now in chapter number 3, Ruth is fixing to be a bride. And she needs to wear the garments that are befitting of a bride, or the garments of a wedding. She's saying to Ruth, I want you to put on something special. I want you to look good. I want you to wash yourself, consecrate yourself, anoint yourself, put on some good, pretty clothes before you go down to see Boaz. You know tonight that in this thought here about being clothed, the garments of the Christian life are those things that are seen by those around us. Our clothing is part of our life. It's those things that others see. It speaks of our testimony and our witness and our life. The garments of our life ought to be appropriate to the testimony of our saving faith. Ruth says change it. And Naomi says change your clothes. Put on good clothes. Put on clean raiment, Ruth. You listen to me? Going to find rest, there's got to be some preparation. Be clean. Be consecrated. Be clothed. Number 4, be committed. And get thee down to the floor. Do what I tell you to do. If you'll just stay with me now, we're going to go somewhere in just a moment or two, and it's going to help us. But we've got to understand that if we're going to find rest, there must be, first of all, preparation for rest. Be clean, be consecrated, be clothed, and be committed. Secondly, in verse number 4-8, there is the place of rest. You say, Brother Dave, where was Ruth going to find rest? One place. At the feet of Boaz. 4 times in this chapter, the feet of Boaz is mentioned. So the place of rest tonight as at the feet of our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is the preparation for rest. There is the place of rest. But here's the third thing I want to preach about tonight. The procedure for rest. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said in verse 8 that at midnight she came. And she laid down at the feet of Boaz, and Boaz said to her, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." You say, preacher, what was Ruth doing in this request to Boaz? I tell you what she was doing. She was proposing to him. She was proposing marriage to him. You say, that's unusual, preacher. Well, it may be for our culture, but in this situation, it was proper. Because under the law of the kinsman redeemer, it was incumbent upon the widow that knew there was a kinsman redeemer available to make her proposal to him to redeem her. So what Ruth is doing is literally proposing. that Boaz performed the rites according to the Levitical law of a kinsman redeemer. Spread your skirt over me. Literally provide for me. Protect me. Redeem me. Give me rest. My rest is going to be found in you. And when Ruth said to Boaz, spread your skirt over me, it has a picture of a bird spreading their wings over their young ones to protect them. Give me rest. So Ruth comes to Boaz with a need. She needs Boaz to become her kinsman redeemer. Now, according to the Bible, there's three things that a kinsman redeemer had to be. He had to be, number one, a relative. Number two, he had to have the resources to redeem. And number three, he had to be willing to redeem. There had to be a readiness upon his part to perform the act of a kinsman redeemer. So Ruth is saying to Boaz, you are in the family, you're a relative, you have the resources. Now be ready to redeem me, be willing to redeem me, spread your skirt over me, and become my kinsman redeemer. You say, Brother Dave, who's our kinsman redeemer? I'm glad you asked me, because I sure want to tell you, our kinsman redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you tonight, Jesus Christ perfectly fits all three of those qualifications of the Levitical law to be a kinsman redeemer. You say, Brother Dave, is he related to us? Oh, yes. And that's why he came to this world through the vehicle of the virgin's womb. And that's why he was God incarnate in the flesh, that he could become our kinsman redeemer. Yes, he is related to us. Does he have the resources? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. He had the resources. It flowed through his veins. That rich, red, royal, redemptive, sinless blood was the resources that was needed for Jesus to become the kinsman redeemer, to be our heavenly Boaz. You say, Brother Dave, was he ready? Oh yeah, he was ready. He left the ivory palaces of glory to come to this world to become the redeemer of men. Why? To become our redeemer. So Ruth is saying, Boaz, you're a kinsman. Spread your skirt over me. Protect me. Provide for me. Meet my need. And I say to you tonight, there's a lot of us in this building that are like Ruth. We got needs. Some of them tonight may be a need for redemption, because you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's the greatest need in your life tonight. You may not can pay your bills. You may not can spell your name. You may not have a nickel in your pocket. But the greatest need you have tonight, if you're lost, is you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. It's your greatest need. And then there are those among us tonight that are saved that has needs. Needs that are pressing upon us. Needs that only can be met through the moving of God, through the work of God in our lives. You say, Brother Dave, what happens when I get ready when I get clean and I get consecrated and I get clothed and I get committed, what happens, Brother Dave? When I get down to his feet, what happens, Brother Dave? When I lay my need before him, would you note verse number 10? Note what Boaz said to Ruth in his reply. And he said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not." What about that? "Fear not, for I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." What's Boaz do, preacher? He gives her a promise that is sure. The first thing he does is this. He calms her fears. And secondly, he charts her future. You know, needs has a way of sometimes getting between us and God. Needs has a way sometimes of blocking our vision of God. Can I remind you that Ruth was at the feet of Boaz at midnight, in the darkness of the night. And because of the darkness of the night, Ruth could not see the face of Boaz, but she could hear his voice. I'm about to have a Pentecostal spell. I'm telling you, you may be here tonight with a need in your life that has blocked the face of God from you. And you're wondering, preacher, what am I going to do? Hear his voice tonight. Fear not. I will do for you what I have promised you I will do. When you can't see his face, just listen to his voice. Amen. Because sometimes you can't see his face. The need of your life blocks your vision of God's face. But thank God, when you can't see him, just listen for him. And he'll come by and he'll say to you, "Fear not." Amen. Amen. He calmed her fears. He charted her future. "I will do," here's what he said, "to thee that thou requirest." Note verse 15. Only the promise that is sure, but the provision that is sustaining. The Bible said, she lay at his feet till morning. And she arose to leave before anybody knew she was on the floor. There must have been some Baptists there. Would have loved to gossip about Ruth laying at the feet of Boaz. So Boaz says, "Ruth, get out of here before anybody can see you. But before you go," verse 15, "bring me the veil that thou hast upon thee." You say, "Brother Dave, what was her veil?" Her apron. And Boaz said to her, "Hold it out." He measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she left and went into the city back home to Naomi. Can I tell you this? When you get prepared to rest, when you get to the place of rest, when you lay your need before the Lord, though you may not see His face, but you hear His voice, before you leave, He may not be ready to meet the need that you've laid before Him, but He'll load your wagon with grace for the present hour until He comes by at a future time to do what He's promised you He's going to do. Hallelujah. For six measures of barley while we're waiting on Him to meet our needs. Amen. Yeah. She takes it back to Naomi. Carries in 6 measures of barley. Verse 17. She said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Are you listening to what I said? Let me say it one more time. When you get prepared to rest, you get clean, consecrated, clothed, committed. You get to the place of rest at His feet. You lay your need before Him. And though you may not be able to see His face, but you hear His voice, fear not. I will do for you what I promised I'll do for you. And before you leave, He says, by the way, while I'm taking care of that need you give me, let me give you some grace for right now to get you to where I'm going to bring you. And He just loads your apron full of 6 measures of barley. Hallelujah. Amen. Go back home. And notice verse 18. Naomi said to Ruth, here's her reaction, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou knowest how the matter will fall." What's Ruth telling Naomi to do? Or what's Naomi telling Ruth to do, Brother Dave? Here it is. Ruth, you've done all you can do. Now you just rest. You just rest. What else could she have done? She got prepared. She went to the place. She laid a request before Him. He blessed her with present grace. What else can she do? Worry? Fret? Murmur? Moan? Complain? Well, Naomi said, just sit still. Just rest. Did you know that the Bible gives that kind of advice in some very peculiar situations? You remember Exodus 14 when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt? Pharaoh's army was behind him. Mountains were surrounding him. And a Red Sea was in front of him. And Moses stepped up and said, "Stand still. Rest and see the salvation of the Lord." The psalmist, Psalm 46:1 said, "God is our refuge and a very present help in the time of trouble." Then in verse number 10, he said, "Be still and know that I'm God." You hear me? I believe we're going to get out of here one day, and probably soon. But none of us knows what we may have to face before Jesus comes. You better hear the word of God tonight. You better know where to find rest and how to find rest. I'm telling you, Naomi said, "Ruth, you've done all you can do. You put it in the hands of Boaz. You just sit down and rest, my daughter." Why could Ruth rest? Read the last of the verse. If you got any shouting, it may come out right here. "Then said she, sit still, my daughter, till thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest. Boaz won't rest until he have finished the thing this day." Woo, glory. You say, "Preacher, how in the world can you rest?" I can rest because he's not going to rest until he brings to pass what he's promised me. And I'm telling you tonight, he will be faithful to do what he's promised. So you rest because he's not going to rest until he does what he says. Amen. That's the recipe for rest. What is it, preacher? Get prepared. Get clean. Get consecrated. Change your clothes. Get off those old grave clothes. Put on grace clothes. You didn't get that. We're no longer bound by the grave clothes. We had a spiritual resurrection. We got clothed with grace clothes. I heard Brother Allen, hold my Bible a minute. I heard about an orphanage in the Ukraine, about a young boy by the name of Tom, a preacher, his wife got a burden to adopt a baby from that orphanage in the Ukraine. So they raised the money, got the necessary documents, went over to the Ukraine to get their boy, old Tom. But there was one thing, Brother Snyder, that had to happen when you adopted a baby or a boy from that orphanage. You had to bring him, when you come to get him, brand new set of clothes. I mean shoes and socks and undergarments and shirt and pants. I mean, you had to bring him a brand new set of clothes from head to toe. Said the preacher got over there and his wife to get little Tom, and said they stood at the end of a long hallway. Said just as soon as those workers of that orphanage brought Tom to the door, he started shedding them old clothes. Amen. Kicking off them old shoes. married to you.
Amen. Amen.
They said, Brother Jim, your name Jim. Hey, Jim. Said, Brother Jim, he took Brother Tom to church for the first time. He's sitting back in the middle there watching his new preacher daddy up there preaching. Said Tom was looking around. Everybody, right in the middle, his daddy's preaching. He hollered out, stood up, and hollered, "That's my daddy." They said that preacher stopped right in the middle of his sermon, hollered, "And that's my boy."
Let me ask you a question. You want to just hear about the rest? Or do you want a part of that rest? You want to be a part of it? They're going to sing a song here for an invitation and give you a moment to come. Maybe, you know what I love, Brother Dave? When you can't, you can't see his face. You hear his voice. I can't even tell you that many times I've had to learn to follow that. I didn't see anything, but I felt like in my spirit I heard something. Maybe there's a lot of racket going on in your spirit. A lot of racket.
Oh my.
All this stuff. Yeah. While they lead us in a song or sing one for us. want you to get up. If you have that much desire for rest in your soul, just enough to draw you, get up right now. Just get up. Don't go another day trying to screen that racket out yourself. It hasn't worked.